From the studios of Radio Sai at Prashanthi Nilayam, I am Chandu Vijay and this is Love to Love. And today we have a talk by Professor Sanjay Sahni, who is currently the Controller of Examinations of the Sri Sathya Sai Institute of Higher Learning. Sri Sanjay Sahni was a student of the first batch of the 5-year Integrated Commerce Program in Swami's University. He won the gold medal for academic excellence, both for his Bachelor of Commerce as well as Master of Commerce programs. Subsequently, Bhagwan blessed him to join as a faculty member in 1987 at the Prashanthi Nilayam campus. Later, he also served as the warden of the senior boys hostel at Prashanthi Nilayam campus and as the principal of the Brindavan campus, a position he held till recently. The topic for today's talk is, you may worship a picture as God, but not God as a picture. This talk was delivered in the Satsang Hall here in Prashanthi Nilayam on the 8th of April 2018. Stay tuned, dear listeners. Interspersed and after the talk, we have some beautiful songs from the album Reveal Yourself. And at 3:30 p.m., we have the live Telugu segment Sri Sathya Sai Divya Sandesha Chari. With that, over to Professor Sanjay Sahni.
Offering my loving pranams at Bhagwan's lotus feet, invoking his divine presence in today's satsang, we pick up a saying of Bhagwan which he would quote occasionally and see how best we can understand the import. The saying goes like this: you may worship a picture as God, but not God as a picture. See, every word, every sentence spoken by Bhagwan is like a Veda Vakya. The more you contemplate on it, the more you practice it, the more you will experience the layers of meaning which are embedded. So what I propose to do today is to share some thoughts on this saying based on what is described in the Shastras. Then go on to share some stories relating to some of the wonderful temples that we have here in Prashanthi Nilayam. It's important that we recognize the worth of every inch of space which the Lord has personally blessed with His sacred feet. And then also share some of my own experiences in the context of the theme of today's satsang. In the 12th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna asks Lord Krishna this question: which is more desirable, worshipping the Lord without form or worshipping the Lord with form? And Lord Krishna very clearly emphasizes, it doesn't make a difference. It doesn't make a difference. I remember once we were sitting at Swami's lotus feet here in the interview room, and Swami said, see, for God, there is no specific place, there is no specific name, and relating it to no specific form. He said, whatever the devotee describes him as, according to his feeling, the Lord responds, yad bhavam tad bhavati. He says, he was telling that, suppose you think this chair is God. Yes, chair will be God for you. If you think this tube light is God, The tube light is God. So God has no name. With whatever name you call Him, with whatever form you visualize Him, He is willing to respond to you. But Krishna underlines one important truth for Arjuna. He says, Arjuna, between the two, for those who have not transcended body consciousness, who still feel, you know, this so-and-so, this body is Mr. So-and-so or Miss So-and-so, Mrs. So-and-so, whatever. For those who are still identified with the body, it is easier for them to relate to God with form. So that's the starting point. Swami used to give the example, it's like when you're teaching a child vocabulary. How does a mother teach, or how does a primary school teacher teach the child? You know, they'll have pictures. For example, there'll be the picture of a chair. And then the teacher will say, or the mother will say, this is a chair. There'll be a picture of an apple, and they'll say, this is an apple, A for apple, C for chair. So you start like that. You see the form, and then you hear the name, you hear the word, and then you relate the two. But once the child is able to relate the name and the form, one day you don't need the picture. You just tell, this is a chair. There was a chair. And immediately the image of the chair comes to your mind. You don't need to see a chair to be able to visualize the chair. So, Bhagwan explains that when we start on this spiritual path, on the path of bhakti, on the path of adoration of the Lord, the form is a very important vehicle for us to connect with the divine, for us to relate to God. So, when he says, you may worship a picture as God. Now, nobody has seen Sri Rama or Sri Krishna. But yet, you know, when you go to a temple, to a Rama temple, what would you see? Here is Rama holding his bow, Godanda bow, and next to him is Sita and Lakshmana, and Hanuman is at his feet in a very reverential position. Immediately you are able to relate to Sri Rama. Similarly, when you go to a Krishna temple, Krishna in his trikona position, you know, with one leg slightly crossing the other and holding the flute, immediately you see the picture, it reminds you of Sri Krishna. Now, whether Sri Krishna actually looked like that, it doesn't make a difference, right? But supposing in a Rama temple, you make Rama's statue hold the flute. You know, what is this? How can they do like that? I mean, we are not ready to relate the flute with Rama's form or the Godanda bow with Sri Krishna's form, right? So we start like that. We start like that till a time comes. You know, today the last bhajan in the morning, bhajan in the cycle, one thal, Ramachandra Raghuveera. So, you know, it was such a heart-warming bhajan and raised to the third tempo. So, you know, the moment we hear the name Sri Ramachandra, immediately, it doesn't matter whether each individual's picture in mind is exactly the same. It makes no difference. But you can relate to the Lord so intimately when you hear the name, because you're able to visualize Him, you're able to conceptualize Him in the innermost recesses of your heart. So, the starting point or the initial steps in the path of devotion, we do need the form, and therefore Swami says, you may take the picture as God. And he would give the example of Ramakrishna Paramahamsa. Ramakrishna Paramahamsa, one day I remember Swami telling us that story, and he said, he was like a 0-watt bulb. Can you imagine? Swami telling Ramakrishna Paramahamsa was like a 0-watt bulb. And he kept on saying, Kali, Kali, Kali. He would go to the Kali temple. He was a priest in the Kali temple at Dakshineshwar. And his mother, can you show me your form? And every day when evening would fall, he would feel so sad. Mother, one more day has passed and I am not able to see you. I am not able to visualize you, your real form. And this would go on for days and days, weeks. And one day he got so exasperated. What is the use of this life if I am not able to see your form? And that day he decides to take his life. The moment he decides to take his life, that day mother reveals himself, and he never in his life again ever felt that mother was not accessible to him. He always would say, mother talks to me, mother has conveyed this to me, and that kind of a thing. So his relationship with the Divine Mother was something which got embedded on that eventful day in his life. So Swami said, he was like a 0-watt bulb and kept on saying, Kali, Kali, Kali. And that repetition of the name and visualizing of the form, one day that 0-watt bulb became a 1,000-watt bulb. A palmer became a Paramahamsa. Now when Swami gives example like that and, you know, gives that kind of a evolution, not that Ramakrishna Paramahamsa was not a very evolved soul, he was a spiritual giant in the firmament of the spiritual lore of the world. But Swami used that narration to explain, just as a 0-watt bulb by chanting Kali, Kali, Kali became a 1,000-watt bulb, you all also like 0-watt bulbs. You also develop that intensity and you also can graduate, you can migrate from your current status to that particular status. But at the same time, Swami also says, you may worship a picture as God, but not God as a picture. See, the second part of the statement is also very important. In fact, Swami would say, anything in our culture, in Indian culture, in Sanatan Dharma, a stone, a bird, an animal, you know, a plant, you can say that this is divine, and you know, you can raise it to the level of divinity. But why is it also important not to reduce God to a picture? Don't worship God as a picture. And again, if we read the life story of Ramakrishna Paramahamsa, we find this episode where one day the jewels of the divine goddess are stolen by thieves. And Mathur Babu, who is the proprietor of the premises and who is taking care of all the mundane needs of the temple, etc., he's furious, furious for his loss. And he says, what kind of divinity is this, you know? The mother cannot protect her own jewels. And you know, we go to her and, mother, please give us this, please give us that, grant us boons and all that kind of thing. And you know, a thief came and she could not protect her own jewels. And then it is Ramakrishna Paramahamsa who tells, the jewels have so much importance for you. And the mother cared 2 hoots for those jewels. The thief is also like a child to the mother. The thief comes to the mother, the thief child comes to the mother. Mother, I want your jewels. Will you give it to me? Take it. He said, for the Lord, it is irrelevant whether you have adorned the Lord with jewels or did not do it with jewels. He cares two hoots. He cares only for your feeling. So, when you start bringing God down to a picture, you know, you are this statue and you did not take care of your own things which I have given you, such precious things, and start abusing and scolding the Lord, then you have reduced God to a picture, which is not the correct attitude. And therefore, Swami said, worship a picture as God, but not God as a picture. Because sarvam vishnumayam jagat, ishavasyam idam sarvam, everything is God. What is not God? Everything is God. But don't say God is this picture. And if this picture is at the same time, Ramakrishna Paramahansa also, you know, once when the statue broke, I think a Krishna statue broke, and Mathur Babu was so, you know, in a big dilemma, what shall we do? Then, I think it was Rani Rashmani. Rani Rashmani, she was so perplexed, what should be done? So then, Paramahansa Ramakrishna says, if your son-in-law fractured his leg, what would you do? Oh, he has fractured his leg. Throw him out of the house and we'll get a new son-in-law. Would you do that? He said, then he himself, you know, loved making idols and the like. He said, he offered, I will repair this idol myself and we will reinstall it in the mandir. So that was accepted, and then with great love, Ramakrishna did the clay work again, and once it was repaired, it looked less like a new idol, and that was once again put for worship in the mandir. So, everything is in bhavam. Yad bhavam tad bhavati. When Swami says, take a picture as God, if you have that feeling, God also responds. Now, with this brief introduction, let me come to the story or the stories of some of the beautiful temples that Swami has installed in Prashantinilayam. Let me start. You know, it is customary that any narration or any activity we start with Lord Ganesha. Right at the entrance of the ashram, we have the Ganesh Mandir. About a year ago, somebody whispered a leela which took place on the inaugural day of the Ganesh temple. And somehow I heard it, but didn't give much credence to it. I just forgot about it. A few months later, suddenly it came back to me and I started looking for the person who narrated to me, and I just couldn't remember at all. So I kept asking everybody, young and old. And after a long search, finally I found one gentleman in the ashram, Dr. Shiva Reddy, who has been a dentist in our general hospital. He is a permanent resident in our ashram here. And he told me that he was an eyewitness, and therefore I feel a little confident now to share this story. So, apparently it was sometime, maybe 71, 72, Dr. Shiva Reddy was visiting Prashantinilayam. East Prashanti had just been constructed, and Dr. Reddy had been given a room in the ground floor of East Prashanti. So one day he was in the room and suddenly he hears a commotion outside. So curious, he comes out of his room, and what does he see? He sees that Swami was coming out of the mandir, and he has come on to that road between the mandir and the East Prashanti, and he was coming in his direction. And naturally the devotees are excited, because seeing Swami in the darshan hall is one thing, but seeing Swami on the road and walking just like that is naturally an occasion for celebration. It's a special darshan and closed darshan with no sevadals around. So he started walking in his direction, and Dr. Reddy was standing there, and Swami said, "Come with me." So he started following him, and they walked up to the Ganesha temple, and that was the inaugural day of the temple. Prana Pratishthapan, as they say. And of course, the full-fledged renovation of that temple took place in 1975, Swami's 50th birthday, 14th of October, 1970, where, you know, the beautiful gopurams came and the decoration you see all around. But the basic structure, you know, the platform, the Ganesha idol, Vigraham, the pillars and a basic canopy on top. That basic thing got done on that particular day. So that was the Prana Pratishthapan day, and our Mandir Pujari, Padmanabh Shastri, was called by Swami, and apparently the Muhurtam was some early morning. So Swami created a yantram, which is a plate with divine inscriptions on it, and he gave it to our Pujari. He said, you complete the Prana Pratishthapan, whatever the rituals, etc., in the Muhurtam, and his usual time must have been after 7 o'clock, he'll come for darshan. He said, when I come out in my regular time, I will come and bless. So accordingly, these people had early morning finished all the rituals, the installation was done, the cementing had been done, and that was the time when Swami is visiting Ganesha and Dr. Reddy in tow behind him. So when they reached in front of Ganesha, to his utter surprise and annoyance, Swami saw that the yantram plate which he had created, it was lying on the last step which was leading to the Ganesha Vigraham. The moment he saw that, he recognized that this fellow has forgotten to put the yantram before the installation. So he looked at the pujari and said, "What is this?" And he is pointing out to the yantram. The moment the pujari saw the yantram, his heart, you know, froze, because what a terrible mistake he has made, that Swami created the yantram, gave it to him with specific instructions, and he has not obeyed the instructions. But the thing is, the folly of man is an opportunity for God to reveal himself. So, you know, that Ganesha is going to be adored for ages to come by whoever visits Prashanti. Swami was not at all satisfied with the way events had turned out. And this is what Dr. Reddy saw and describes. Swami took his palm like this, and he flicked his fingers. The moment Swami flicked his fingers, to their utter amazement, Ganesha broke the cement concrete and rose in the air. You know, we have heard it in Swami's life story, similar thing happening in Gindi temple in Tamil Nadu when Swami inaugurated the Gindi temple. The same thing happened with Ganesha here. That, you know, Ganesha, on the flip of Swami's fingers, rose into the air and is floating in the air. And then Swami looked at the pujari and said, "Put this there." So he comes down and he picks up the yantram and he goes that and he places it where, you know, it is supposed to be placed. And when Swami was satisfied, then Dr. Reddy describes, Swami uttered this word, "Kurcho." Kurcho means in Telugu, sit down. The moment Swami said kurcho, Lord Ganesha came down and took his seat. So when I narrate this to our students, I tell them, what is the secret? That anybody and everybody who comes to Prashanti Nilayam never misses an opportunity to worship Lord Ganesha at the entrance, the secret is his implicit obedience to the divine parent. Swami was, he described himself, I am Shiva Shakti Swarupa, incarnation of Shiva and Shakti. So the divine parent, Bhagwan Sri Satsai Baba said, "Lay, get up." And he got up. The divine parent said, "Sit down." He sat down for that implicit obedience. For ages to come, Lord Ganesha will get his adoration and worship. In fact, once Swami was sharing in the casual conversation with the professors of our university, he said, a day will come, people will simply come, do namaskar to Ganesha, and from there itself they will go away. They won't even come inside to Mandir. From there itself. Means our job is done. So that is the leela of the inaugural day of Lord Ganesha. In front of Ganesha, we see a platform, and you would have seen a few small deities in the form of snakes, and there are two trees there. So let me share it with you the story and the history of that place as well. So that particular installation of the Naga Devatas took place on the 24th of November 1955, one day after Swami's birthday. Now we know of Sheshagiri Rao, who was the first pujari of the mandir here, and his family, they started the Akhand Bhajan in Bangalore. 25 years it ran, and Swami, except 2 years, has visited that Akhand Bhajan whenever they had 24 hours bhajan. After 25 years, Swami said, from now onwards, this Akhand Bhajan will become a global Akhand Bhajan. It will no longer be just a function which is being organized by this family. It will become a global Akhand Bhajan. So it belongs from that, Dr. Padmanabhan and others. So in that family, there were two gentlemen from Bangalore who prayed to Bhagwan, "Swami, we want to install these statues in the ashram, so will you give us this permission?" And Swami gave them his consent. So they brought these vigrahas from Bangalore, and then on the D-Day, they did pradakshina, going round the mandir. Swami is standing there, they went round the mandir, and then on the third round, when they started the third round, Swami also joined the procession. So Swami also walked with them, went round the whole mandir, and then they went to that spot, and the vigrahas were, again Swami created a yantram, put it there, and then these vigrahas were installed. And then Swami personally planted the two saplings. One side you have a neem tree, the other side you have a peepal tree. So he personally planted the saplings, and today you can see they have become such big trees. And in those days, devotees would garland Swami. So this two couples got the honor and privilege of, putting on Swami's neck that long, thick garland of flowers. And then Swami said, "Come, we'll have a photo." So they took a photograph. Now, everything went off without a hitch, till the photograph came back after development. And to the utter amazement, when the photograph was developed, they found that on the garland which they had put on Swami's neck, there was a snake which was hanging, and normally on Shiva's neck, the snake is facing towards us if you're looking at the photograph or picture of the Lord. In this photograph, it's a real photograph, it's there with the family, the snake was looking at Swami with some surprised look, that kind of look on the face. So they were so shocked by what had happened, because nobody saw the snake when the function was taking place. So they brought this photograph and they showed Swami, "Swami, look at this photograph. When we developed it, this is how the snake is found hanging on your garland." And then Swami explained to them You know, the reason is Nagadevata, you know, it is in adoration of divine in the form of a snake. We say that Vishnu lies on Sheshanag, no? So see, Nagadevata was very, very happy for what you have done. And he wanted somehow to tell you that he is so delighted for what you have done. But I advised him, don't come physically, because there are so many people going to be there, you know, it's a crowd. And even if you are doing an installation for Nagadevata, you know, when a snake manifests in person, it is not, you know, people will go helter-skelter, so it will be a total commotion. So don't come physically. In some other way, you communicate whatever you want to. So this is the strategy he used, his subtle presence through the developed photograph he has announced to you. And it is just a blessing for you that, you know, the Lord is so delighted for what you have done. See, apparently it's a picture, apparently it's a statue. But then, is it really a statue? See, everything depends on our feeling.
Before the beginning, past the end. listening to Radio Sai Thursday Live. Stay tuned.
A little away and very recently, next to it is Shanmukha Temple. The Shanmukha Temple also has a story of its own. One day I was talking to Mr. Srinivas Chettiar, whose father was instrumental, both father and son were instrumental in getting the statue and praying Swami and that installation taking place. So, they had brought this statue and they were praying Swami for place. So Swami asked Mr. Chiranjeev Rao, who was one of our elders in the ashram, and Mr. Srinivas Chettiar, every day they have to go around the ashram and check which spot is ideal for the installation of the Shanmukha statue. So, every day in the evening they will report to Swami. And invariably Swami say, no, that may not be the right place. And so again, the expedition starts next day. So it went on for several days. One day, they came towards the entrance of the ashram. And at that time, there was only this Ganesh Mandir there. And there used to be a mound, grassy mound at that spot. So, Mr. Chettiar expressed to Mr. Chiranjeev Rao, sir, I think this is a wonderful place for installation because Ganesha is next door and people will surely come to worship Ganesha. So, along with Ganesha's worship, Shanmukha also will get, Subramanya also will get his worship done. But somehow Chiranjeev Rao sir was not happy. He said, no, entrance and you know, noise and all that. So, he was not very happy with that day's selection. So, they went to Swami that evening as usual, and Swami asked same samacharam. So Mr. Chiranjeev Rao sir kept mum because he didn't like that day's selection. He didn't want to be the first person to blurt out a choice which he himself was not happy with. So when he didn't express, Swami looked at Mr. Chettiar and said, Amy. Then he said, Swami, we were thinking that this particular spot next to Ganesha, that mound is there. Maybe that may be ideal. That is the spot where you should install Subramanya. So, in a matter of, seconds, Swami selected the spot. Then Swami gave them an important instruction. He said, you go and read the Sukanadi. So, there is in Bangalore city, a person who used to have Sukanadi, and in fact there is a very important episode. He had the privilege and honor of reading it out in Swami's presence also. Sukha, the great Maharshi Sukha who gave to the world Srimad Bhagavatam. He narrates it to Maharaj Parikshit, the grandson of Dharmaraja. So this is 5,000 years ago. And so he has written, the future on so many, that's something, Agastya Nadi, and so many Nadis are there in India. So Sukha Nadi, there was one person who is having that, and I'll tell about the father, then I'll come to this. So the father, one day, prayed for an opportunity or somebody arranged it, whatever. So, in the old bungalow in Vrindavan, this was brought, the Nadi was brought, and this gentleman started reading out. And there are a lot of things, Satya Sai, about Bhagwan, means what Sukha has told about Bhagwan Sri Satya Sai Baba. And some of the things documented in the Sukha Nadi, like his residence will be next to Bahu Chakra Vahana. Now, Bahu Chakra Vahana means basically a vehicle with multiple wheels. And Swami's residence in Vrindavan was next to the Whitefield Railway Station, where every, few minutes there are trains going up and down. So even that kind of detail is mentioned there. And another thing which is documented there, where he stays, there'll be always adequate water available. And that's something which Vrindavan Ashram has enjoyed for a very, very long period of time, for decades together. He will take out things from his mouth, you know, the lingodbhavam. All these things are documented in that. But as it was being narrated, at one point of time, Swami tells this gentleman, stop. And then he walks out of the hall, and after some time, he comes back and sits and he says, come on, continue your narration. And when this man started reading the Nadi, to his utter amazement and in his joy, tears started flowing down from his eyes. Why? Because the next thing that it is documented there, which he is reading out, when this Nadi of Sri Satya Sai will be read out in the presence of Sri Satya Sai, at this point in the narration, he will halt the narration, he will go out for some time, he will come back and ask the narrator to commence the narration again. That kind of detail, when he is reading, means he was, people come to him, he reads the Nadis is one thing, but to see that, you know, in the presence of the Sri Satya Sai, what is documented in his Nadipatra is coming alive. It was, you know, something which was mind-blowing for him. So all this we have heard from our teachers of those days and students, or some students also were there when this narration took place. So Srinivas Chettiar went to this gentleman and he asked, please, we would like to read Sri Satya Sai Nadi. And then in that Nadi narration, it is documented that there will be a person by name Subramanya Chettiar, and he will organize a golden chariot and he will bring it to Bhagwan Sri Satya Sai Baba, and on this particular day at 7:05 a.m. Sri Satya Sai Baba will ascend the chariot and the procession will commence. Actually, they had originally planned at some 7 a.m. or something, but finally, when it actually happened, it is, noted that it happened at 7, when the moment Swami climbed up, at 7:05 sharp. And then, it is also recorded in the Sukhanadi, 5,000 years ago, that one day prior to the golden chariot procession, in the same premises, the same Subramanya Chettiar will install a Subramanya Vigraha, and the spot which will be chosen for the installation of that Vigraham is a spot where great Maharshis and Tapasvis in the past have done their tapasya. That spot will be chosen for the installation of the Subramanya's Vigraham. So imagine when, you know, he came back after reading the Sukhanadi, you know, they were so, what should I say, thrilled beyond the limit to see that everything has been already told by Maharshi Sukha 5,000 years ago. It's only, you know, the events are just unfolding in front of their eyes. So every temple, you know, which is installed here has a story, has a mystery which is unfathomable. We cannot, I think in one of the previous satsangs, I don't know how many of you were there, maybe a couple of years ago I had shared it, in front of the Gopuram gate, there is this Rama Vigraham. That also has a story of its own. And I have my own personal story associated with that Vigraham. But first let me tell the itihasam of that Vigraham. So it so happened that the ceiling of the Sai Kulwant Hall was being gold-plated. This assignment had been given to one devotee from Bombay by name Bombay Srinivasan. He gives a lot of public talks, and some of his talks are available in YouTube also. So I heard it directly from him. So Swami was in Vrindavan at that time, and the gold plating was going on. Simultaneously, the instruction that Swami had left in the ashram was that expand the hall. So the Kulwant hall was being expanded right up to the Gopuram gate. Earlier it was much smaller, the premises was much smaller. So as this gold plating is going on, the hall also will get expanded. And there were two trees on either side, at the edge of the boundary near the Gopuram gate. So the workmen, as these about 400 workers were working on this gold plating, some other workers went with axe to, because a compound wall has to be constructed, so they went with the axe to cut the tree. The moment they hit the axe on a tree, thwam, one sound came out. And the whole workforce in the Kulwant hall, you know, is it like some bomb blast has taken place? So everybody, you know, got shocked. What is it? Something, you know, so stunning and terrible has happened. Then the workers got so afraid, they left that tree, they went to the other tree. And again, the first hit that they made on that tree, again, thwam, sound came. You know, they are not very educated people, but they immediately realize that something which is not according to the will of God, we are doing some, you know, terrible sin we are about to incur, we will not. So the work came to a total standstill. And there are hundreds of these workforce there who were eyewitnesses to the sound and what has happened. So Swami was not in Vrindavan, work has come to a halt. So message was sent to Swami, and then Swami very innocuously sent a statement, an instruction. See, leave one of the trees, the other tree you can cut. So cut only one of the trees, the other tree you leave it, and the ask the engineers that they can rearrange the compound wall layout. And that's why even today you see that the wall is not, you know, a straight line. It is literally a curvature. So one tree is still there, the other tree is cut. So that was the instruction which Swami gave, and then the work proceeded and it got completed. So one day Swami was talking to Bombay Srinivasan, and in the course of the conversation he shared with him, do you remember that when you all were doing this work, that sound came? Yes Swami, we all heard that sound. And then Swami said, shall I tell you why it happened? He said, Swami, please tell, because other than you, nobody else can explain. We didn't understand. Then Swami said, you know, a few years ago, same Subramanya Chettiar had taken up a global spiritual mission of printing Likhitam Japam books, and he distributed worldwide. I mean, many people all over the world participated in that. So he would print the books, and anybody asked, any devotees from any corner of the world, he would send these books, and people would keep writing Om Sri Sai Ram, Om Sri Sai Ram. And once they completed, they were requested that they can send all the books. So crores and crores of these namas in the form of those books, he had collected it in a huge hall in his home, and then he brought it to Prashantalayam and wanted to offer it to Swami. And then Swami said, come, we'll do something about it. And then it was his suggestion that a cellar will be dug underground and all these Likhita Namam Japam books will be put, and on top of it Swami installed a Hanuman statue. So the Hanumanji was installed. Swami said, you know, that vibrations from that nama which devotees have written in the form of those books, so powerful that they could not be contained in that room, and it came out and it had to get lodged somewhere. So it had got lodged in the leaves of the two trees which were next to that Hanuman statue. And so when these people went to cut the trees, you know, because it is so charged with Ramanama, the, you know, sound immediately came as a blast. And then Swami said, the vibrations are now so powerful, it is not possible for Hanumanji to contain the vibrations, the only person who can contain the vibrations is Rama himself. So you take your Rama Vigraham and install it at that spot. That is the story, how that spot got selected for the installation of Rama Vigraham. So, you know, every place that, you know, Swami has blessed and, you know, for our adoration, God is one, all forms are one, but yet we have joy in, you know, like sweet is one, sugar is one, but somebody likes gulab jamun, somebody likes Mysore Pak, somebody jangiri, whatever. So therefore, every form of the Lord, in so many ways. The other day, I was going to Lakshmi Temple, Gayatri and Lakshmi Temple, and I met one of my senior retired colleagues there. And as I was going there, he shared something. Once Mr. Srinivas Chettiar asked Swami, because the installation of Gayatri Mandir was somewhere around 19, I think when the Golden Chariot or some around that time, 1998 or something like that. The Lakshmi Temple came in 2005. So when the Lakshmi Temple came, it seems Mr. Srinivas Chettiar, because he had personally asked Chettiar and Chettiar told him, he asked Swami, Chettiar asked Swami, Swami, when such a powerful Gayatri mother is here, why do we need again a Lakshmi goddess next door? Then Swami said, I'm installing Lakshmi here to bear witness that when she is here, nobody in Puttaparthi will ever feel the want of wealth. She is a witness. She is a sakshi to this truth. You know, what a sankalpa. So, I mean, every little thing which Swami has done, he has done, you know, it's a divine thing. I was talking the other day to one of our old students, because passed out many years ago and went out, had a lot of successes, some setbacks as well, and he was in financial straits. So with his whole family, he has come down and he is, you know, taking lodgement in Puttaparthi. With one simple philosophy, he said, if ever I am going to rebuild my life from a mundane, worldly point of view, if there is anywhere I can succeed in the world, it has to be Puttaparthi. If I cannot succeed from Puttaparthi, I will not be able to succeed anywhere in the world. I mean, you know, God has His own ways of coming to the Mandir itself. Before I come to the Mahasamadhi, I'll share something about, you know, when you enter the Bhajan Hall, because front you have the photographs of Shirdi Sai, Patti Sai, and you have the beautiful lingam, you know, which we had installed in the Atirudra Mahayagnam. As I narrate that, I can also recall at this juncture, when we had a few years ago, 3-4 years ago, we had Atirudra Mahayagnam in Vrindavan Ashram. And just before the Pujari and all the Vedic Ritviks, they were to come to Prashantalayam to seek Swami's blessings here at the Mandir here. They gave instructions. Mr. Nanjunan Dixit was the chief Pujari for the whole Yagnam. So he took that Vigraham and it was kept in the central hall of Trayi Vrindavan. And as per his instructions, the way it was, and from next day onwards, our own Sevadal were supposed to start the worship. Because we are not so familiar with the ritual part and all that, whatever he instructed based on. So, there were two of our staff members, right from earlier also when Swami would come, they had the opportunity of sleeping in the Mandir in the night. Daytime they are doing various duties, but in the night they would go there and sleep in the Mandir. So this Saishwara Lingam is installed there, and one of the staff, he was explaining that alone, you know, outside, thousands of people are there and they have put a cordon. No, you can't go close. I mean, for obvious reasons. But here is this Aishwarlingam, just a few feet. He just sat there and, you know, late into the night he was just looking at the lingam and contemplating whatever. Next day morning, Mr. Bhatia, who is the custodian of Vrindavan Ashram, entered the mandir. And to his utter shock, he found that the position of the lingam, you know, there's a lingam and there's a peetam, you know, where when you pour water from one direction, the water comes out and flows down. So that peetam, the whole position had been reversed. So if it was facing, north, it started facing south, and the floral decoration has been changed. If you take the peetam, which is like this, and you turn it to reverse the position, the netram is that, you know, which is tied around the eye of the lingam, which is tied, the netram should be facing the wall now. But the netram is facing front, the whole floral decoration has been rearranged, but the peetam is on the other side, reverse side. So he said, how dare, you know, anybody touch the lingam and change, and these are the instructions of the pujari. And so he asked the first staff member, are you responsible for changing the position of the lingam? So, you know, he thought, maybe this is my last day of staying in the mandir, because there are only two people in the night who are there. Nobody else other than two souls in the mandir, and then it is locked. So, he thought it was his last day. He said, sir, I promise you, when he touched the feet, I promise you I have not touched the lingam. Then he said, then how did this happen? Sir, maybe we have to ask the other staff member. So the other staff member was asked. He said, what do you mean? Who am I to, you know, change the position of the lingam? And, you know, he had a mobile phone. And the previous night, when I told you, you know, he was sitting in front of it, he just took a small snapshot of it. And because he wanted it as on his, the home page, you know, of his, the screen, the home screen for his phone. So, the mom said, how? What do you mean I have touched? I mean, whatever you have done, you have done. Abhi. Who are we to go and touch? Then he looked at that, the photograph that he has taken the previous night before sleeping, and he looked at the lingam, and he found the position has changed. And then I was sharing it with one of our professors there. He said, it started facing southern. That is the position that the lingam is supposed to be in. Jai Sairam. You know, we in our innocence, we don't know all this. The pujari told, whatever the pujari told, we did. But Swami, he made the change, and that is the living presence of Swami in Trayi Mandir. So, all these are very, very precious. Whatever installation Swami has made. And if you go to our Bhajan Mandir here, you know, I was reading the narration of the Shilpi. One Subramanyam Shilpi has done so much. The Gopa, he came in 1974 or so, all the Gopuram gate, the Dharmastharma, the Sarvadharma Aikya Stupa, the Ganesha dome, the domes on the mandir, all this, so much assignment Swami had given it to him. And this is his narration. So after all that was over, 50th birthday got over, then Swami said, come on, you make this Gitopadesham for the bhajan hall. And this is his experience. Swami would himself come and, you know, see how the work is progressing. So Swami would come in and personally close, you know, the doors. He would latch the doors. And because he would come so often, they had kept one chair for Swami next to the, where the Gitopadeshan backside, the rear side of the bhajan hall. They had kept a chair for Swami, and Swami would sit there and hours together and see this work being done. And then, this is what Shilpi Subramanyam has narrated, that he would come and tell me personally, you know, see, this is how Krishna should look. And Swami would, you know, make all those facial features demonstrated on his face. See, look how I am looking. Like this you replicate it now on Krishna's vigraham. And then when it came to Arjuna's turn, see, Arjuna, no, he should be like, he's very anxious and all this. So Swami literally demonstrated. He was a great actor. Even, you know, the whole family, the Ratnakaram family, you know, in the, right from a grandfather time, they have been part of these mythological plays and they're adept in all that. So Swami himself used to demonstrate on his face, see, you make it like this. And then this Shilpi will be looking at Swami and then he'll be sculpting and, you know, amazing. I mean, to what extent physically Bhagavan Sri Satya Sai Baba has seen to it, every vigraham, every picture, every statue here, so that, you know, all of us can enjoy. So I'll end with one narration relating to Rama's statue. So happened that I was there at Vrindavan. I was the principal of the campus there, and once we had planned some aero sports and other events. And that year we thought that we'll give a drama a skip. We will not bring a Kalfada sports meet, which takes place on January 11th to January 15th. We will not bring a drama. So our teachers came here to get the blessings of Swami and approval for the items. In the interaction which they had with Swami, Swami said, cancel sports meet. Not cancel sports meet, cancel your aerosport. Cancel aerosports and introduce drama. And there was a boy who, I think he was sick and he had gone home for a few days. In his dream at home, Swami came in. Hey, he was from our art group. You know, in the hostel we have an art group. He said, what are you doing here at home? There is a drama. You have to get ready all for the sets and all that. Come on, go. Go back quickly. So this fellow came back, and by the time he returns, message has come from Prashantalayam, Swami has cancelled aerosports and one more, and those boys, you know, very adventurous. So Swami cancelled our event, and you know, they were heartbroken because they wanted to have the joy of presenting it to Swami. But Swami is a master and he knows. And then out of nowhere, you know, this... So we took up the story of Valmiki and the author of the Ramayana. And then the entire, in Telugu, the Ram Katha. So as the Ram Katha is being sung, the entire Ramayana is being depicted on the backstage. So starting with the story of Valmiki, ending with the entire Ram Katha. So that was the whole thing. So we brought that drama here to Prashantalayam. And suddenly we find that Swami was so cold. He is not giving us any clue whether we can... He is not coming for the rehearsal for the drama. He is not looking at the boys who are a part of the drama. And Swami was appeared very, very annoyed. And then he said, you know, students are like this and teachers are like that and all of you like that. And, you know, all, you know, things he is in bhajan all in public. You know, there's nothing to hide because in public he is talking all this. So everybody knows, oh, Vrindavan students and teachers, Swami is not happy. You know, when Swami is talking to you, looking at you in darshan line, if you find any devotee of that kind, no, everybody will make a beeline. Where, which queue he is joining, I will also join that queue. And invariably when the lots would be taken, it will come number one and he will get a chance to sit in the front row. And along with him, whoever has detected that this fellow is getting number one chance and Swami is coming and talking. When somebody was telling me, I asked, how come every day, you know, you are getting number one? He said, you know, Swami came in my dream and told me, choose your lots according, I mean, in sequence, according to the digits of your telephone number. You know, so, like 845, supposing it is that. So today he'll choose he'll go and stand in queue number 8, and that 8 will become number 1 queue for that day. Then next day, as per his number, it is 4. So next day, 4 number is there. So few days, you know, some devotees started saying, And I think it was some students, this is a boy, student who explained to me. After some days, oh, every day this fellow's line is going first. So they'll say, which line has he chosen? I will also go and stand in that. And sure enough, so one day I asked them, hey, what is this? Every day you're getting, no sir, not every day sir, every alternate day it is becoming first. Which is itself a privilege. Because one day I remember our Professor Anil Kumar, you know, used to translate Swami's discourses. He was telling, Swami, today I am sitting at a lotus feet, so close. Swami is sitting here, he is there. And there was a time when I would be in the darshan line and we'll pick up lots. And the lot that will come, 34th line or 36th line. And you don't know where in the hall you are seated. And Swami is just a blob in the distance. Is this true, Swami, sitting at your lotus feet? Or is that true? Which is true? You know, that's what he asked. So, the point that I'm making is that, you know, when Swami decides that he wants to give attention to somebody, everybody wants to be close to you, everybody wants to talk to you, everybody is so curious, what is so special in this person that Swami is giving so much of attention? But if Swami starts ignoring you, then, you know, people say, which queue he has joined? Be 100 miles from where this fellow is, because by mistake also Swami will not come near us. You know, you start getting, being avoided as if you are an outcast of society. So that all that, so that was what has happened. And then Swami is not looking at our boys, not giving, and the students are so, sir, will we get a chance? You know, students are praying, teachers are praying. One day in the bhajan hall, two teachers went and on their knees, Swami, please forgive us, please bless our opportunity. But, you know, Swami, not willing to relent at all. That all has happened. And I'm just wondering, what is this, Swami? So one 11th January program got over. All the campuses are presented and Swami announced that Prashantliam program is also something was there. And 12th morning before Darshan, I went to our Rama. It was just next to our Vrindavan hostel, next to the Gopuram gate. So I went in front and I prayed to Lord, please. Because there's a particular prayer which I made, within a few seconds, the darshan music started. Within a few seconds, darshan music started. And Swami had come out a little early, so immediately from there itself I ran. The students' line has not left. They also started running from the hostel and in a few seconds all are there in the mandir. And we went and sat there. Swami came from the Purnachandra. He called the warden into the interview room, and in a few seconds, warden comes out of the interview room and announces, Swami has permitted the drama to be presented not in the Kulwant Hall, but in the college auditorium today evening. I am praying to Sri Rama, please, see, you only wanted, Swami, what is this? You asked for Ram, we had not planned this drama. You insisted that it should be there, and in fact he told the Prashantliam campus people also, see, Vrindavan, they get the drama, why don't you also plan a drama? So, you know, that's how he triggered the drama preparation in Vrindavan. And then when we bring it, you said no. So I prayed in seconds. Swami from Purnachandra arrives in the mandir, immediately he calls the warden, takes him into the interview room, and just, you know, maybe 10 seconds he's inside. 12th, today evening is the drama. Now that was a big tension for our drama group, because the sets had been planned for Kulwant Hall, which is much open space. Now they have to take the sets into the college auditorium where the doors are so small. So literally, you know, there was a scene where Brahma, you know, he is about to make his manifestation in front of Valmiki. So he comes like this on, they had planned, some kind of a lift. So it will be, you press the button and slowly he'll rise, you know, and people will say, oh, Brahma is coming out of the clouds, you know, he is coming to bless. So all those effects, but it is such a big set. So they literally had to cut it, de-weld the whole thing, then make it enter. And then, you know, it was again re-welded, and From morning to evening, till whatever time Swami gave, 5 o'clock or something, Swami is coming. I just stood there, because nothing else I can do. And praying, Swami, will we be ready? Please allow us to be ready. Fortunately, by the time Swami came, Swami sat, and then he said, at the end of it, because he blessed all the students, he said, students, you will put up this drama again on the 15th of January in Sai Kulwant Hall. What a bonus! You know, here we are not sure, Swami, will we get a chance to present it in front of you? Even if the public doesn't see it, doesn't matter. Swami, you come for our rehearsal, that itself is sufficient. And out of nowhere, first, you know, the drama became a reality. Then Swami comes and said, not one chance, I am giving you double bonus. Not only Purna Chandra, but also in Kulwant Hall you will present it. It was an event of unimaginable dimensions, I tell you. But the whole thing, I still cannot forget. I stood in front of Rama. Rama, this is your story. And please bless us that, you know, we are permitted to offer it to you. And seconds, he fulfilled it. So, when you worship a picture as God, he becomes alive for you. You experience his living presence. And it is for that reason, in Sanatana Dharma, as well as in Swami's own teachings, so much of emphasis has been given. But we should also have that caution that we should not reduce Swami to a picture or reduce God, that he is this statue, because there can be other kind of implications like Mathur Babu had. Or one day, you know, when I went and stood in front of Subramanya Vigraha, somehow I felt, oh, such a beautiful place he has. Today it is looking little, distorted. So I went a little close to see, why is his face looking distorted today? And I saw that there was a lizard sitting on his cheek. So that is what was distorting the beauty of his face that day. But then I said, is it only I or we have the privilege? Are what is wrong if the lizard also, you know, he wants to kiss the cheek of the Lord? The lizard has the privilege. We may not, the pujari may not allow us. One day when we went to Mahasamadhi to do namaskar, I found there was a spider which was there just next to where I was doing namaskar. I looked at the spider and half a mind I had, should I pick up, how dare this spider come, you know, it is so, it's messing up the samadhi, and shall I pick up that spider and throw it away? And then I restrained myself, who am I? How the spider has landed up on the Mahasamadhi, that is the spider's fortune. Who am I to take that spider and throw it away? So, for the Lord, we are all one. Yad bhavam tad bhavati. If you worship him with feeling, he will respond to you in any form, in any name. But to feel his presence, to live in that presence, that is what spiritual life is all about. With these few words, Jai Sai Ram.
Wake up now, my children, wherever you are. Wake up now, my children, and see who you are. It's time to wake up now, you've slept for so long. It's time to wake up now and sing me a song. It's time to wake up now and sing me your song. Sai Ram, Sai Ram. It's time to wake up now and sing me your song. A new day is dawning, a new day is here. Give up all your worries, give up all your fears. That's why I've awakened you, the reason I came. Surrender your troubles and sing out my name. Surrender your troubles and sing out my name. Sai Ram, Sai Ram. Surrender your troubles and sing out my name. free. Come now, my children, and merge into me. Come now, my children, and merge into me. Sairam, Sairam. Come now, my children, and merge into me.
Letting go my future, Lord, letting go my past.
near and far. Oh Lord, my name is every man, my face is every face, and in this sacred silence, Lord, I ask you for your grace. Reveal yourself, reveal yourself to me. Reveal yourself as the one reality. Show me your divinity in everything I see. And show me you're the light inside of me. Reveal yourself to me. Reveal yourself as the one reality. Show me your divinity in everything I see. And show me you're the light inside of me. And show me you're the light inside of me.
Oh,
take me to the sea.